whatever your project is, you know, this is giving them, you know, your pitch, your elevator pitch, and say, yeah, if you're interested, give me your email. Or you could do this on a website. You could have a website that captures people's emails. You say, go to the website and input your email, like subscribe with your email. And then you build up that email list. Like with Chris's surf film or with his children's book, The Boy Who Spoke to the Earth, we were collecting emails up to a year in advance of actually launching the project. So that's all the legwork. That's the hard part, is getting anyone you can that might be interested, get their email and say, okay, I'm going to send you an email when the project's live. And as soon as you get that email, you know, go back my project and support it, you know, essentially pre-order a copy of the book. If you can sort of front load it, Kickstarter works like, I like to think of it as like a reverse bell curve. So like I said, it all spikes at the start and all spikes at the end. So if you can blast, you know, thousands, hundreds or thousands of emails out as soon as you launch your project, you're going to get all that traction to that site. People are going to watch your video and you'll start to get backers. It'll start to, you know, trickle and go up. And all that energy will lead to, you know, marketing, you know, unpaid marketing or free impressions online. People just hearing about it, people sending the link around to their friends and their family. So yeah, if you're considering crowdfunding or doing a Kickstarter, make a timeline for yourself and then think about, okay, this is when I want to launch my project, and then work backwards from there and figure out how many days, weeks, or months do I need to collect as many emails as I think I need to, you know, reach my goal, my funding goal.
Great. Thank you. Anything else, other tips that you have from your experience of just the creative, especially, let's talk a little bit about children's books. So, you know, that can be a really hard genre to get into and to get published in. What suggestions, what tips do you have for everybody?
That's a really good question. I think where we found success anyway, and I don't know if this is just our interest or if we got lucky or a combination of those things, but for our publishing company, the thing that's huge is we call them inspirational children's books, right? So something that hits you here that, you know, emotionally you connect with it. We get all the time people pitching us their idea to publish them. And we have a super small team. So most of them, almost all of them, we can't take on the projects. But the common, I think, the common reason is just because a lot of people have really clever ideas for their children's book. But it's almost so, what's the word? Having a niche is good, right? Because you know who you can sort of attack with your marketing and you know who the buyer is going to be. But sometimes the niche is so small that the book is never going to have longevity, right? Like it's going to be hard to continually market that book. So, and I chalk this one up to luck, honestly. The Boy Who Spoke to the Earth has done really well because of this inflection of interest in the outdoors. There's a lot of national conversation around, you know, national parks and public lands. Outdoor recreation is as big now as it's ever been, if not bigger. So tapping into something like that, reaching those people, and then doing it in a way that emotionally connects with, you know, their soul. I can't say enough about that. You know, it's good to have a clever book, and the writing needs to be clever. The story needs to be solid. Illustrations need to be good. All of those things are important, of course. But just thinking about how big your idea can be, I do this a lot too. We don't give ourselves enough credit for how good our ideas could be. You know, we don't go big enough. So I think, and Pixar does this all the time with their films, right? You walk away not just being entertained, but feeling like you want to be a better person. You want to change in some way. And that's because of that emotional substance that their stories have. So I would encourage people, if you're interested in doing a children's book, try and approach it from a more emotional perspective and think about why is a parent going to want to read this to their child? Why would I want to read it to my child, right? Like, what, I want that parent to have an enjoyable experience as well. And I want them to believe in what they're sharing with their kids. Cause that's an intimate moment for a parent to sit down and read a story with their kid. And so solving that problem for them, give them something inspiring, give them something meaningful. And that's not to say that, you know, that it can't be funny or it can't be witty, and like those things are, you know, obviously important, but I think being more emotional about it is always my approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where would you say that you get the inspiration for your writing? You know, inspiration or just the ideas, oh, how do those kind of germinate and go, and how do you get those ideas?
I don't know. I it seems like every time I write something that connects with people, and this like I said, this could be, you know, a church talk or church lesson, or all the way up the spectrum to a published book. It seems like the things that connect with people are the things that I've overlooked in my own life as good writing material. I'll often, like any writer, I'm sure we all try and think of that next groundbreaking idea that's going to blow people's heads off in a good way. That was sort of a weird metaphor, but like funny stories my dad told me growing up, you know, like coming back to those real human moments. That's always a good place for me to start, because then I know I'm starting with the human connection. I'm starting with that human insight that's going to be the thing that connects with readers. Whereas if I just try and invent a feeling out of thin air, there's nothing, I don't really have a compass to guide my story structure or my, you know, writing, because I'm sort of inventing it. And that's important. Like, you know, the creative aspect of pulling things out of thin air is going to happen. But I think you need that. You need to know what the human element or human insight is from the beginning. And for me, that comes mostly from my childhood. Like I said, my dad is a really interesting guy, and he, all sorts of little anecdotes that he taught me growing up, I always come back to those things. What did he tell me the other? So he just actually got out of the hospital. He had a bad mountain biking accident, was in the NCCU for 2 weeks.
Wow.
But has been able to laugh through the whole experience because that's just kind of the person he is. And he reminded me of a phrase that he taught me when I was little recently, which was, you know, life's rough, then you die. And you know, that's sort of how he explains the meaning of life. So coming back to a phrase like that, that, you know, that's an interesting starting point to how, you know, how do I capture that feeling in a children's book and make it meaningful to parents and their kids? So, I think real authentic human experience is, there's no substitute for that.
Great. And then what would you say, so with Dreamlean Books, do you want to just talk for a couple minutes about kind of the specific things that you're looking for in submissions for Dreamlean?
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, ours is very much inspirational children's books, and we've sort of, we've teamed up with a bigger publisher out of Layton, Gibbs Smith. I'm sure, you know, a lot of you guys have heard of Gibbs Smith and know them well. They did Baby Lit. They've done a lot of really cool things in the children's realm. They're looking to us to really create some more nature-based and outdoor-based books. So that's what we're working on now, and that's probably what we'd be most interested in seeing from aspiring writers and authors. And again, I would add what I said earlier about it, you know, having having that flavor of inspiration to it is crucial. Cause they sort of want outdoor and nature, and we want to do that too. But for Ben and I, what's crucial for us to get behind something we're publishing is to know that it's going to affect people in a really positive way. And it's going to make you want to follow your own dreams or be a better person in some way. So combining those two things, that's the sweet spot we're looking for right now, is emotional or inspirational, and then nature based. Yeah.
And do you have any other tips just in general on the writing process, maybe how to get going, or you got going, but now you know you need to revise, you see that, okay, maybe this isn't as inspiring, it's not really going to connect with the readers as much.
Right.
Maybe just some tips on how to really refine the story.
Yeah, I think the thing that works best for me is making sure that I'm setting time aside every day to write. Whether that's, you know, lately it's been this biography that I'm working a lot on every day. I'm, you know, working on it. But it's also important, if you don't have a project like that, you know, if you don't have something, you know, is going to be published, just sitting down. And you know, I'm glad this is sort of an LDS type community, because I think the metaphor here of reading your scriptures is very relevant. Building that habit is the thing that leads to success, right? There's so many of us that, you know, we'll start the Book of Mormon, and we'll get up to the Isaiah chapters of 2 Nephi, and we'll sort of squander and start back from the beginning a few months later. I think it's the exact same with writing, that if you want to be successful at it, and if you want to finish something, you've got to finish something. You know, don't worry about it being perfect. Don't worry about understanding every aspect of the story arc, and just tell a story, tell a human story, and do that every day, and make it a habit. Because then as you keep doing, when the opportunity arises, when you meet a publisher, or you know, meet a book agent, or you meet this person or that, an illustrator, and they say, you know, do you have any ideas? You know, you should have, you know, dozens of ideas ready to go. And that comes, for me at least, that comes from just doing it every day. And then the other thing you mentioned, Susie, that I will say is, and we've all heard this, that writing is rewriting, you know, that it's never good the first time. I'm embarrassed by a lot of the things I've written. But it's always a process of writing and rewriting, and getting, especially for children's books, reading them out loud or having people read them out loud, you'll see right away where they don't work, because a lot of the kids who will be seeing these books can't read, or they're new to reading, right? So having something that audibly engages someone is huge for children's books. So write every day, and either you or, you know, your spouse or family or friends, have them read stuff, have them read your work out loud back to you or to a group of nieces and nephews or grandkids. And be honest with yourself if it's not working, right? It's always easy to fall in love with our own ideas, but without pleasing the audience, then you really won't be that successful of a writer.
Thank you. One other question. So do you have any tips on finding an agent, working with an agent, just the whole agent issue?
Yeah, I do. I think we all have in our minds this idea of being a published author, right? And that you just have to get your manuscript on the right person's desk, and then it will be a train, you know, a free train ride from there. Which I'm sure can happen. That's certainly not how it's happened for me. Nor is that the kind of person we look for to publish. Like, this goes all the way back to the Road to the Shire thing and trying to get involved with the Hobbit movie. I think the best way to get someone to invest in you or to take a chance on you is to show them that you're willing to do it on your own first. You know, I got my first job in advertising, me and my friend who did the project together, they hired us not because of our other, you know, our spec ads or our made up advertisements that we had in our portfolio. They hired us because of the road to the Shire, right? Like we proved to people that we were self starters and that we were going to do stuff. So how does that translate for writers and publishing? I think write a book, you know, and get it printed. Like even if it's 10 copies that you're giving to your family for Christmas, first of all, what an amazing gift, right? Your family's probably going to appreciate that more than anything you could buy for them. But second, that allows you to, when you inevitably do have that conversation with an agent or a publisher or someone who can connect you to the right people, you can say, look at this thing I made, right? This is what I'm capable of. And if given more resources, I'll make it that much better. That's going back to Hogwash. That's another huge thing I'm trying to accomplish with Hogwash is just teaching, because I can't teach people how to be the best writer. They can't, like, that's a personal journey. You know, I'm trying to help people, but the most important thing I think I'm offering at Hogwash is to say, finish something and showcase it so that you can kind of hold that on a pedestal. And even if it's not good, you can at least show people, look, I finished, you know, I can make things. So I think that's what, you know, publishers and agents are really looking for is someone who isn't waiting for them to hold their hand through the process. They just want to find people who are already, and along with that, you know, having some sort of tribe or following. If you can build up through social media or through blogging, blogging's awesome because it gives you a chance to focus on, you know, practice your writing, but you're also building a following as you go. If you have a popular blog, finding a book deal is going to be easy, you know, because you already have an audience and you already are showing that you can write. So building a successful blog is huge. I think publishers can't deny that type of stuff.
Great. Thank you. And I totally agree. Yeah. Does anybody else want to ask any questions?
Radio silence.
Yeah.
Did you have?
No, Caroline? Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. So I think maybe Mitch, do you have any final thoughts, any final things that you want to just end with?
I'm glad you asked me that because I'm reading a book right now called, what's it called? The Icarus Deception. This one right here by Seth Godin. It's really great because it tries to like beat the fear out of you. And I guess what I would say on top of that is make stuff, right? Make art, make stories, tell stories. Cause that's what the world needs more of. We need more human connection so we can understand each other and get along better. I feel comfortable, I guess, saying this within this community, but I don't think we need more lawyers or, you know, or accountants or even doctors. I think we need people who can tell stories and who can make art and who can connect from human to human. So don't give up. Like, keep making your thing and whatever story you're working on or if, you know, if you're a publisher, whatever project you're working on, have one, start one, you know, make art and build bridges between people with the human connection that art always portrays.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we will wrap up then. And again, I just wanted to say thanks, Mitch. Really, really appreciated everything you shared today. I thought it was great. Thanks for letting me just kind of interview you and ask you some questions on.
I appreciate you doing that. I didn't know how much, you know, maybe I should have had more prepared, but that was fun. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you again. And we'll get everything up on the website so people can watch this, and we'll have the link to the Hogwash School so people can get more information on that. And everybody have a great rest of the day.
Great. Right. Thanks, Susie.
Thanks. Helpful. Bye.